CliffCentral.com. All right. Let's do this. Oh, God, now I have to reset this thing because my stupid music. Where is it? Oh, my God. There we go. Oh, dumb music wouldn't play. All right. Well, you know, we're still figuring shit out. What can I say? Simpiwe and I are here in the studio live in Johannesburg. And it's Friday, which is excellent news for everybody concerned. Indeed. We're ready to hear from you this morning, too. If you want to give us a call, we'll put the number up on the screen just now. The last time we had someone call in and she told us someone died in the bed with her. Then we had someone who called in with massive sexual problems.
Yeah. Oh, they called in just to say they're having their first drink of the day.
Yes. Yes. It's at early in the morning. Very, very rough. What is it? It's 6:05. So, yeah, if you're drinking already, that's a bad sign. Very bad sign. All right. Well, we got lots of things to get to, people to see, places to go, stuff to talk about. We want to hear from you and let us know what you are up to this morning. You can always drop us a comment in the comments section live on the YouTubes. But if you want to call us, you can do that too. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You can. It is possible. 0832955769. We especially like that 69 at the end of our. All right. Well, listen, we've got plenty to talk about today. I had such a cool day yesterday. I managed to interview two amazing historians in a row. Like, I know that's not everybody's.
But that's up your alley.
Garrett. Oh, it's so up my alley, right?
That's what makes you happy and your heart smile and beam and be like,
it fills my heart with joy.
Oh, so how did those go?
Very, very well. They were both amazing. So the one is, the famous Simon Sebag Montefiore, who we've had on Blind History before, but he's in South Africa at the moment promoting his book, The World. Mm-hmm. What a cool guy. I mean, just like absolutely one of the world's best historians. Mm-hmm. Just such a clever human being. He is, you know, a lot like that Yuval Noah Harari dude who manages to summarize these huge swathes of history into like understandable, comprehensive, concise little chapters and paragraphs. He can do that too. And I think it's the rarest skill. Like to be able to actually condense stuff into the shortest space is just an absolute genius skill. So he's able to do that. And then I spoke to a guy called John LeBand, who's just written an amazing history of the Zulu and Boer Wars of the mid-1800s.
Ooh.
Yeah, very interesting. Very, very interesting. So he's also extremely cool. And I sat for like 2 and a bit hours just talking history, which made me very, very happy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Would
I want that or, I don't know, a holiday? I think I'd rather want that. I must be honest with you.
If it was any other person, I'd give them the cider and be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. You
but
know
because
it's
you, Gareth, yeah, it makes sense. It actually makes sense.
Absolutely. All right. So what's news with you? You've always got updates for us. Your updates aren't as dramatic as MASH's, but I mean, they're still dramatic. Oh my God. Every time MASH comes on the show, there's a life insurance policies have been taken out.
Please don't get me started on MASH because I've been on his case and I'm just
why?
Like,
why are you on his case?
I just feel like the relationship is moving like too fast.
Oh, this is his new beau.
They've known each other for all of 90 days.
Yeah, I know. They've already taken out life insurance. They've moved in together. It's all very, very, very fast.
So it's almost like every day we get a new update on what's going on. And I'm just like shook it to the core. I'm like, MASH, no, what's going on? What? Don't get me started with him. But this is like what? My last Friday being 27, Gareth.
Ah, Simpiwe, it's all going to go away soon. 28, you know, 28, that's when all those famous people die, right? Like Amy Winehouse.
I thought, it wasn't the 27 Club.
I think, well, they don't make it to 28 is the important part. So basically, how many days have you got left to live?
No, don't say that. I still need to find a man.
No, it's not going to happen. Your grandmother's going to die without the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren she wants so badly.
No, she's holding on.
You think so?
She's holding on, and I'm also giving her a bit of like, I'm like, Gran, I'm in it. I'm also trying to find a man this year. We're in it together.
Is your wish list up?
Yes, it is. So I have reduced it to five things. Let me read it out for you.
All right, here we go.
Here are the five most important things. If you want to bless me this year,
right,
make my day this year.
Who doesn't want to do that?
I mean,
really.
Number one.
Let's go.
Human-sized teddy bear.
Okay.
Two, mm-hmm. MacBook Pro M2. Three, Canon M50 camera. Not too bad.
No, how much is that though?
The Canon M50, easily depends where you get it, 15K.
Oh, that's not so expensive. No, no big deal there.
Yeah. iPhone 14 Pro.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Sure, of course, why not? How much is that going for now? 29?
You know, just an easy measly 30K.
How many gigs of memory are you looking at here?
You know, just like 128. Just,
oh, okay. You know, middle range.
Yeah.
You don't need the 500 and
something. No. I'm asking for too much if you ask for 500 now.
Of course. I mean, you're asking complete strangers to buy you shit for your birthday, but that's asking too much. All right. Yeah.
And then last but not least, money. Like, you can never go wrong with money. So that's the five.
What if someone gave you?
There is a bonus gift.
Like car guard, R5 level money.
Yo,
I mean, would you accept that graciously? Because, you know, 25 rands is not insignificant.
I would.
Okay. You're not going to look a gift horse in the mouth and go, oh, no, sorry, that's too little. I don't want to accept this.
Never that. No, why? That's rude, Gareth.
Just checking.
But I do have a bonus gift here.
Oh, no, you want a bonus gift. Let's just get the phrasing right here. You're not, oh, guys, I've got you a bonus gift. CPU is like, here's one other thing you can buy me.
Well, you don't have to buy this one. This one says indoor. You see, a man.
We can't buy that. Money can't buy that.
But I mean, if you do the right things, maybe introduce me to your friend, you know, of a friend who, I don't know, doing the right things. That would be an amazing
gift. I mean, producer Ryan says you spent an hour on this list yesterday. You know, I've heard stories about like, girls who have bachelorette parties and they actually put their Patreon or wish list or whatever on the car for like 3-4 weeks beforehand. They're like, I'm having a bachelorette. If you want to sponsor me, who wants to sponsor you? I suppose there are guys who would do that.
But you must take your chances. What's funny is my list before used to be like, long, like maybe 15 items.
And you realize no one was going to buy you anything.
I've actually gotten most of the things on the list.
No.
Yes.
Who?
Did
you buy them?
No. So like last year I had like, I didn't get
the human size.
Did
that guy at our old offices buy you any of this stuff?
No.
That guy was hitting on you when we.
I'm so glad we moved. See, my life is peaceful.
CP would come in the mornings and then there's this guy would be creepily standing on the stairs going, hi, CP.
Just like. Oh, creep. Mm. But like, I've gotten like an ice cream maker, right? So that's
a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you used it?
Yes, I have.
How often?
I've used it about 5 times. The only issue with it is that you have to put it in the freezer the night before you use it. So I'm one of those. I'll just wake up and be like, I feel like making ice cream today. Because it has to be in there for 8 hours.
You got to plan that properly. Okay, but still, it's not the kind of thing that if using 5 times, what do they cost?
Oh, what? I don't know. Well, the particular brand they bought, I know where they got it from. So it was like under 1,000 rand.
These are your benefactors, your blessers. All right, so you got an ice cream maker.
Yeah, I got an ice cream maker. I've gotten an iPad before. I've gotten a digital photo frame. I've gotten a handbag, some really beautiful perfume, books. I've gotten sneakers before. I've gotten jewelry, dogs. So this is all up my alley.
Amazing. You got jewelry from someone.
Yes.
Simon says, Sims, the best we can do is an iPhone 14 Pro cover. Those things are expensive. Now, yeah, I got a new phone end of last year sometime because my other one broke, the screen broke. And the cover, I thought, well, how much could a cover cost? Well,
like 500. Starting.
Jeez, yeah, I know. And then you start, and then they said you've also got to get that film on the front that protects the screen.
The screen protector, which is another $299.
Mm-hmm,
and then you can get the one that protects so that people can't see your messages when you're typing and they kind of just glance over. There's levels to this cover thing. Hey.
Yeah. And the nicest one, because I went up to the stupid me, You know, I'm not paying attention here. So I go up to the little rack where they've got all these things. I'm like, which ones are for this phone? The guy points to them. So I go, oh, that one looks nice. It's like a leather, you know, like a nice.
Let me guess.
Looks beautiful.
1.3?
Somewhere around there. I was like, not a, what are you, insane? I said, give me that cheap plastic. This is the one I've gone for. Please. And I mean, I'm not schnorrer. I'm not like, you know, and I know you use your phone every day, so it is something worth spending money on if you've got it. But I cannot justify in my head R1,300. I mean, you can have, you know what shoes you could buy for R1,300? Not too bad. Yes. Like sneaker wise.
Oh, you
not
can
too
get,
bad.
You can get sneakers. You can get clothes. You can get a full tank for some
get
people.
A stupid cover for my phone.
Dude. No. But, and they put it all there and then like, this is so pretty. Then you get the silicone one and you get the what one. And they all do different things when your phone falls. So it protects it from this and that.
Please. But now all of that stuff's nonsense. You just need something so that on the occasion where you're dumb enough to drop the thing, it doesn't get ruined. That's
all.
And
you can get that for $60 at a China shop.
Correct. There we go.
See, I am a bit of a cheapskate it matters.
Well, when you're spending your own money. When someone else is buying stuff for you, it's different. So here's Congo Chris with some serious advice. Simpiwe, if you are not enough alone, you won't be enough with someone else. If you want someone to be with you, you need to be sure that you're someone that they would want to be with. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. That's from Congo Chris. I love it. All right. Well, used it 5 times, had it 5 years. That's for the ice cream maker. Is that about right? How many years?
Yeah.
You've had it 5 years.
Yeah, about 5 years.
And you've used it 5 times. You don't think that's a total waste. It's like me with the air fryer. I realized when I bought it, this is never going to work. I cooked 2 things in it, and I promised Lebang she can have it. It's sitting in my pantry. I keep forgetting to bring it here.
Well, the person doesn't know that it's only been used 5 times.
No, but all that stuff that you buy, that the very mark advert, it's all nonsense.
No.
It is.
No, wait. Okay, wait. Because I even had, so I've used a donut maker before. I think that one is a bit of a nonsense.
Huh?
Donut maker. You can just.
Oh no, come on. What does your kitchen look like? It must be full of things that need to be plugged in. And we have no electricity.
Well, for the past 3 days, we didn't know what to do as a country. We had so much. We're like, must we eat it?
Oh my God. So Tracy says, interestingly enough, the fragility of phones is perfectly in line with how fragile and sensitive people have become. How unbreakable were those old Nokia 2110s? Listen, I had one of the 3310s.
Yes,
you remember those?
Oh, that one was legendary.
You could not do anything to that. In fact, I think it's still in a drawer somewhere at home. If I pulled that out, it would still work. In fact, it wouldn't. The battery wouldn't even be flat.
And it would last for a whole week.
These things, you're like, and they
crack. It's already
a crack. Yeah, no good. Nico says that shoes are so expensive. I got running shoes the other day for $2,000 and they were on special.
Oh, yes, that is true. So I once bought running shoes and then they ask you, it's a whole questionnaire that they do with you, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, is it indoor, outdoor? And then you tell them it's outdoor running shoes and then they'll be like, okay, what's your shoes?
Indoor. You get indoor running shoes?
Yes. So if they ask you if you're going to the gym for the treadmill and stuff like that.
Oh, right.
And then if you're doing outdoor, obviously road running. And then they're like, okay, cool. Shoe size, and then they tell you that it needs to sit like this, it needs to be this comfortable and all that, and that's what you're actually paying for. You're paying for the almost like the design of it lasting for as long as it can for whatever you're going to be running.
Ryan says I got to put the number up, but the problem is, Ryan, this thing won't charge. So talk about old phones. Look, it's at 1%.
It's going to die now.
It's going to die in
but
a second.
iPhones have this amazing thing, right? It can be 100% and then we'll go like all the way to 1%. And then that 1% will last for like the next 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, I don't understand.
It's just it's a bullshit thing. But that phone wants to die.
No, it's, yeah.
I mean, we put a SIM card in it so we could do the live calls, but the phone itself is ruined. So I've actually got to think about another plan for this thing because that is not going to work. That phone is so desperate to be dead.
It needs to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So while we're getting all of that sorted out, Ben will be joining us a little bit later on. We've also got Prev Ready popping in. I saw a couple of people when I posted this on Instagram. They're like, who's Prev Ready? Well, you're not on TikTok, clearly, because he does Auntie Shamila. And he does all these other characters too. I mean, he's hilarious, actually. He's got a one-man show coming up called Mummy's Boy, which is at Carnival City, the Lyric, the State Theater, the Radisson Blue Hotel. I mean,
so he's busy.
This is amazing for someone who started on TikTok. You show someone this and they're like, oh, okay, there's hope for me. Not because he isn't brilliant. I mean, that's why we're getting him on the show.
Yes.
But what's cool about this is that Prev Reddy has managed to make a career where he's now doing the sorts of venues that only famous comedians would have done before. I mean, if you showed this to Barry Hilton from last week, David Gale from the week before, they'd be like, that's impressive stuff. Or they'd be like, I can't believe someone from TikTok is doing this shit. You know, especially because David and Barry are both grumpy old comedians.
Like, it took me 5 years.
500 years. Yo,
TikTok? 2 hours?
But Prev Reddy will be with us later on. Also, Borge will be live on the show. I see George is alive in the comments already, but he will be on the show a little bit later on. Okay, so some people are asking about the Stop Nonsense t-shirts. I have no idea what's been happening there. I let the producers figure that one out, and they haven't figured it out. So you see, I'm going to have to get involved now. I'm going to have to get involved and kick ass because, again, if I leave anything to anyone else, it doesn't happen. So it's like these lights here in the studio.
Yes, I was about to say.
For those who
don't know, Gareth is definitely, so there's a saying that I told Gareth last week that a lot of people like saying on social media, Indoda must. And then they'll be like, he must be able to do this, he must pay bills, he must do that. And Gareth is definitely one of those Indoda must be able to be handy, because Gareth will come in here, he's like, the lights are not working. Where's the screwdriver?
Yeah,
where's the hammer? Where's the ladder?
I hate when things are done. Yep. So I climbed up into the roof. You weren't here for that.
Now,
I mean, Rena was so nervous. She just sat in her office and, I don't know, she prayed or whatever. Homolemo was helping me. Ryan disappeared. He was like, I don't want to know, because he said he thought I was going to fall through the roof. Because if you've ever been inside your roof, I don't think a lot of people have, because when they need something done in there, they get a plumber or a contractor or whatever.
All I do is point them that's
You say, there's the trap door, go.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, the trap door is this big. So, thank God I have had a reasonably good year where I haven't eaten everything, because I wouldn't have fitted through there, you know? So that's the first thing. Then there's only about half a meter's headspace. Okay, so you literally have to leopard crawl from beam to beam. Now, inside a roof, you've got things called roof trusses, which are those, you've seen them on the back of trucks.
Okay.
They're like triangular shaped things.
Okay, yes.
Right. Those things go across from one wall to the other. Mm-hmm. Now, you can only step on those, and they're about, I don't know, 80 centimeters to a meter apart. And you can't step on the places in between, because you'll go crashing through the ceiling board. So I'm up there trying to connect these lights up. And I mean, I've heard horrible stories about people who've been electrocuted and all that shit. But you got to do it. Someone's got to do it. So
this is so dangerous, Gareth. Look, you guys, so wait,
in the roof.
I just thought when people go up, it's just an easy, like,
oh, no. And then you have to connect up extensions, and you have to drill holes, and Homolemo's drilling holes from this side so we can get them in the right place. Then we're putting the cables through, then the hole's too small. Anyway, we eventually connected all this stuff, and I'm happy about it, because now finally we've got everything working.
Okay.
And there are no cables. Like, I hate cables. I'm one of those people, if you've got wires and cables, even these bother the hell out of me. There's some, you know, on the desk of the studio here, drives me up the wall. But it has to be done. So either I'm going to wait another week and a half for someone to come and help me do it, or I'm just going to get it done.
Yeah, I'm the
I will call someone.
I can call and follow up and just be like, there you go. There's the problem. I just need a solution. That's it.
Well, Donna says, I've been inside a roof to sort out a geezer, because if you want something done properly, you have to do it yourself. See, Donna?
What do you
Donna's
press?
Speaking my
what
language.
What do you do? You see, this
press.
Is
press. Look, it's no, like, just... First of all, you can't see anything. It is dark in there. It is dark. There's no light. You can't switch on a light. You have to walk around with your cell phone torch. Walk around. Crawl around with your phone torch, hoping you can see something.
This is how I know I was not destined for that kind of hard labor. Nope. No, sir. What? Crawl, roof? No.
And just to make it even more fun, it is dirty and dusty and filthy, no matter
that
how.
That means there's spiders, there's cobwebs, there's
rats. Gundwans. Big fat Gundwans who live up there.
I'm not trying to meet Gundi and Mazwi. No.
Oh, tell everybody about the... So Retabile was here working late one night. And he filmed a big fat Gundwan who ran out of the... There was a hole we didn't even know was there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this thing came running out to say hello to him.
Yes. And then you know what? Retabile is like, damn, I didn't get to kill it. I'm like... Didn't really even try to kill it. I was going to be on the table, just screaming, well, just like
your. I said it to you on what was it, Friday last week. I said the one person who's not afraid of killing a rat is Jane.
Yes.
I mean, Jane has to deal with these ones in Limpopo, which are enormous, right? I mean, they're the size of a cat.
Yes, and they look at you. They even scare cats off.
They check you out and they go, "What you going to do?" And Jane would take a stick or a broom or something and beat the living hell out of that thing. But everyone else here is terrified. I said I'd bring my gun, but nobody replied.
I'm one of those. I am useless when it comes to killing animals. I'm going to just be on the table screaming for my life. Just get it away. Like, yeah. So I'm glad I wasn't in the room when that happened.
It was one rat. I mean, who knows what things lived in that previous building we were in, because you remember there was that one room that you couldn't go into for like 6 months because of the smell?
Yes.
Something had died in the roof or in the floor or somewhere. We tried everything. We opened up everywhere to try and find out where this thing was. And it smelled like a dead thing. There was no other way to explain it. You know that like sharp, horrible stink of something that has died?
Yes.
And everyone can smell it because you are trained. Your
and
nose.
You just can't be like. It's like you can be like, it's in this room, but I don't know where.
You don't know whether it's up or down. It's not like it gets stronger when you're near it or any of that stuff. It's not good. But anyway, do not climb into your roof unless you absolutely have to. And even then, better to get the professionals in. I am very pleased I did it because now finally this place is lit properly. Mm-hmm. We are officially lit. Tell the millennials and the Gen Zs that. They can stop bothering me with that stupid word. My dad shot Parktown prawns with his shotgun once. Those things are hard to kill. Yeah, cunning stunt says. Wow. Jane kills snakes in Limpopo. Rats ain't shit to her. That's exactly true. Yeah. Henny says our geezer burst last year and the plumbers who replaced it found Castle beer cans from the 90s up there.
So it was a party. It was just a party. Yeah, guys.
Well, you know, I mean, like, people don't know what's in their roofs because it's a whole. The whole floor area of your house is replicated in your roof. You think about it. Whether it's a one-story or two-story house, you've got the same amount of roof space in terms of square meterage. Of course, it's much, much narrower at the ends if you've got a pitched roof. But there's a lot of room up there. I mean, you could have a tiny, small person living up there, like some creepy.
Please don't scare me, Gareth.
Some creepy little
weird sounds. Some little homunculus here at night.
Yeah, some little thing with their tiny little arms and tiny little teeth, and it just scratches at the roof every night, and you're wondering. You think, it's just rats. Meanwhile, it's this little creature who's watching you through a hole in the roof. They're checking you while you sleep. Like,
next topic. Thank you very much. I am scared for the day. No. Like, sure.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I just want to point out, it's not like we have a huge rat problem. I think the rat came with us when we moved because this place hasn't got any other rats anywhere. It was just this one that came out to say hello to Retabile the other night. Otherwise, we don't. It's not like we've got a bunch of them. Tracy says in Durban, the cockroaches are so big that when you doom them, they lift their other arm. It's like spraying them with Axe deodorant. that's so great. Yes, Arbot pointing out that the smell of something dead is called putrescence. Now, we've developed. It's not as if dead things smell. Our noses and our olfactory sense has developed an aversion to that smell so that we... First of all, move away from where they're dead things, because obviously parasites and bacteria and all that stuff inhabit those things, those carcasses. And second of all, it's to warn us that it's rotten, that you shouldn't eat it, because ancient humans We would eat anything. And then many of us would die. So what we did is we developed this ability to pick up that smell. It's like the smell of hydrogen sulfide, rotten eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You know that smell?
Yes.
It is. It's not as if it's, it smells like that to everything else. It just smells so bad to us. And we can pick up. This just proves how your senses develop around life and death, survival stuff.
Sure.
We have developed the ability to pick up the tiniest concentration of those smells, which is why if something's dead, mm-hmm. or if something is really, really rotten, we smell it straight away. Even though you can't smell a cake from here, if a cake is 100, you know, 10 meters away, you won't smell a cake. You won't smell, you might smell baking bread.
Mm-hmm. And it smells so good because you'll be like, someone's baking, and then you start getting hungry because you're just like, woof, that's good. But okay, I didn't know that. That is very interesting.
We don't like those smells because they've killed many, many humans before us. That's why we know to stay away from them. Those huge rats that you get at the coast are a crossbreed between wild rats and a wharf rat, which are massive and come over with the colonizers. My God, a wharf rat. Ooh.
I'm living in the wild now.
Togoloshes love the roof area. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And if you hear it scraping, that's its enormous penis scraping on the roof. You gotta
those
watch out.
Those things are scary, but our parents have found a way around, you know, Amatogoloshi. They put bricks on the bed. I used to wonder why they do that. Now I know. So you're fine.
That's bricks on the bed, but what if it falls through the ceiling onto your bed? What if the Togolosh gets so fat and big that it breaks the ceiling board?
You must just pray. All you can do now is just pray.
That's all you can do.
It's just you and your God at that moment.
Oh, my God. True story, says Carl. Oh, I found my uncle after he'd hanged himself. The smell will never leave me. It's like smell trauma. Yeah, and I'm sure that sticks in your head. It's the most amazing, horrible, horrible thing that happened to you, first of all, Carl. So, I mean, let's just get that out of the way because I'm sure it's not something we should breeze past. But yeah, there's certain smells that also like remind you of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our smell sense is apparently the most difficult if we had to try and replicate it of all of them, because most of taste is made up of smell.
Oh, yes. So this is why they say you eat with your eyes and not necessarily.
Well, your smell sense comes before your taste sense. So perhaps we have more complicated taste sensory organs than other animals do. We don't know for sure, but we definitely don't. We can't smell, like when dogs meet each other, they transfer a whole lot of information by smell that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes for most wild animals. And the fact that we have these highly developed abilities to pick up certain smells proves that we also have that ability, but we've lost a lot of it. But if you weren't able to smell the millions of different kinds of smells that we can pick up, you wouldn't be able to taste as many things as you could. In other words, a large percentage of the sense of taste is actually made up by the sense of smell.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm the perfect experiment for the smell thing. Since COVID, all bad smells are the same for me. Poo, sulfur, it's all the same. I have to ask my husband if it stinks and what kind of bad it is.
Sure.
So you don't know if it's a fart or if it's like something rotten. I mean, it might be the same thing. It might be a person who's rotten farting. That's horrific. Simpiwe looks like she's about to gag, says Janet. Yeah, probably. Hey, Simpiwe, are you managing?
Yeah, I'm fine. Like, you know.
Olfactory memory is the strongest form of memory. That is absolutely correct. It's hard to test if you intentionally keep the two bowls apart, says Ancient Ether. I've been living with one for about 3 years and she will still drink water if it's next to the food bowl. I'm not sure where this is coming from, but we'll try to figure it out.
Did we miss something?
Cats. Okay, here it is. Cats do not drink water near the food bowl. The instinct of something decaying is still strong even today. It's entirely possible. Ben, do your cats drink from water right next to the food bowl or not? You just put them on here.
So, sometimes, but Hopkins prefers water from running tap.
Did you just run in here like running tap?
I did run in here like running tap. Yeah.
All right. Take a moment to collect yourself.
Just
We were just talking about disgusting smells, so you're not missing anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, everyone goes through them, I guess. Yeah, I
no,
just,
well, we...
Wait, everyone goes through... Whoa, whoa, what do you mean? Wait.
No, we were talking about, like, I climbed into the roof last Friday to put up these lights and things. And
a dead rat.
No, I didn't find a dead rat, but we did have a rat here a while ago as well. And so we were talking about this combination of all these things. Because you remember at the old studio, there was that one room that had a dead smell in it.
It was that little tiny the studio little thing. There was something dead in that room.
Yeah, we could never use it.
And it wasn't the talent going in and out. It was actually something had deceased.
It was. It was indeed. All right. So we got Prev Reddy coming in a little bit later on. We've got George Meany joining us at the last 15 minutes of the show. And we've got Ben here this morning too. Simpiwe and I keep you company. How's your week been?
Been pretty good.
Like a 3-day week, but it feels like
super interesting. I went to Cape Town on Sunday. I stayed with my brother, so I spent 3 days with him. Haven't seen him in a while.
Oh yeah.
And I went down for the Para National Athletics Championships.
But what is that like?
It's like para sports. So the various
wheelchairs,
the whole deal. It was such an eye opening experience. Hmm. Like, I believe I know everything there is to know about every sport out there, mostly because I just do really odd things by the sounds of things.
So what
para sport? Yeah. So much to take in. So I was creating like a mini docu kind of a series around the shot putter. And he only competes against himself because he's got one arm and he's obviously hugely accomplished with the other arm, but from birth. So umbilical cord around his wrist at birth meant that the circulation got cut off and he didn't have a right hand.
Oh, wow. So, now, does he have a little bit of the arm left?
No, it's kind of amputated just below the elbow.
Oh, so he's got a stump.
And now he just hoys with the other one. But he's a shot putter. Paralympics, ranked second in the world.
But he competes African against champ. Himself.
But when he competes in these things, there's no one like him in his category.
Oh, so it would need another person amputated below the elbow.
So of a similar,
to be a fair competitor.
So the only time he competes against his peers, so to speak, is when he actually gets to like the world champs or Paralympics. So I'm watching this guy give his all, right?
Right.
And it's just, there's no competitive edge because there's no one next to him.
Yeah.
Like, so wait, if he's not competing with anyone, what's the criteria for him to actually qualify?
Purely on just the length of his throw. So he logs all the throws. But now he's competing in an event where every other sort of class is there. So you got anything with, like, there was a guy with dwarfism, there was a guy on one leg on crutches. He got into crutches and then on one leg he threw a shot put.
No.
Another guy with completely no arm whatsoever.
How did he shot put?
It was a mixed bag, Gareth. It really was. But all of them.
How fascinating.
All of them were doing their own thing. They were in their own category.
Isn't it great, though, that they've got these Paralympic sports now so these guys don't have to be in a circus? Because that was the only option for them before.
Yeah.
If you think that 50 years ago, you're so right. It's like, if you want to play a sport, you get laughed at. You'd be like, well, you don't have an arm or you don't have a leg.
No.
People would literally laugh at you. And now I saw so much in like 5 hours. I was mostly confused because it's not like it's a very well-known, like what's going on.
Don't they also have this very complicated, classification system because they've got shot put A32 or whatever. And then that means you're
in a number.
Right. So it depends on, for example, if you're in a wheelchair and you can't use your legs at all, then you're a certain kind of paraplegic.
Yeah.
And you get a quadriplegic and you get all these different kinds.
Yeah.
And you can't really compete. You can't have a guy with one arm competing against a guy with no arms. It's obviously unfair to the guy with no arms. So they have different categories.
Look, this is a weird conversation, but what I'm taking out of it is like, it was so incredibly inspiring. I know everyone says that, but there I am feeling sorry for myself. I haven't been able to train for a couple of weeks and I'm watching these people.
And you're like, I should shut up.
And literally some of them had literally just lost limbs or they're just first time competing with a prosthetic. And it's just like, it's reinvigorating who they are as people. It's like, can you imagine one last story on this. There was this really talented rugby player in the Eastern Cape, schoolboy talent, 17 years old, looking to pursue rugby as a career, got a leg injury. The medics at the time didn't diagnose the fact that he's actually lost blood to the leg through the impact.
Yeah.
And literally 24 hours later, the guy had his leg amputated.
Jesus.
So you are like an apex athlete in your little realm. And now that's you have traumatic. One leg. And thanks to Paris Sport, he's now doing javelin. So it's different, but it's like he's getting some competitive edge. And that was my week, Gareth. That was
That's pretty wild, Ben. I mean, that is a hell of a lot more interesting than people who just sat at home during the shutdown.
The letdown,
yeah. But we don't have to talk about that anymore. But it was an opportunity for some hilarious memes.
And they were. Yeah. They really were incredibly funny.
Simpy was just laughing. It was a really embarrassing day for some people.
Yes, but we've worked this out. People don't get embarrassed in this country. There's no shame.
Oh, we did discuss this.
Yeah, there's absolutely no shame. So we look at that and go, oh, that's so embarrassing. They're like, another day.
Yeah, I've got nothing else to...
I will say, I just appreciated having all that electricity. That was amazing.
It was pretty cool, huh? I didn't feel
so much electricity.
And especially in Cape Town, it felt very almost like the third world that we like.
Mm. Yeah.
Didn't have to worry about like, oh, my phone's about to die. When is the... Oh. Let me charge it now. It was so amazing.
It felt so efficient, yeah. So Cape Town for 3 days and then back to Joburg. And quite chuffed to have a chilled weekend. I'm going to a wedding, which I'm very excited about.
Very good.
I have, because generally when people get married, I cringe at the thought of having to go to a wedding and be dressed up for a day.
No, come on.
Wait, what?
No, some weddings have been the best parties I've ever been to.
When you're young.
No, Ben, even up to last year.
Well, you're different because you have lots of friends and you like people.
Well,
for me, it's very selective who I want to spend my free time with. But this wedding on Saturday, I'm all in.
The stakes are just higher at a wedding. If you just go to a birthday party or something, you're celebrating, of course, Simpiwe's having her birthday in the next couple of days.
Sure, you can say wedding.
No.
I've missed some episodes in the dancing here.
But if you go to a wedding, you're witnessing two people deciding that they want to be together and they're promising in front of all of you, and that's why you've been invited. It's a big deal.
It's beautiful.
But then the party afterwards is consequential because everybody is there for those people.
Yes.
So they have a purpose in being there. They're not just there to get drunk or to get laid. I mean, those may happen, but they're there for those other people. So it's a noble cause. It's a good reason for everybody to assemble.
Yeah.
And sometimes you meet very nice people at these things.
Look, I probably framed that wrong. I actually like weddings. I really do. But I don't like having to spend time around people that I don't really want to spend time around. But this wedding, I'm happy to go to.
Okay.
I'm excited about the premise of what's happening.
Good. Is it an out-of-town wedding?
No, it's in like Mabuneng, so I don't have to go somewhere and stay in a guest house. It's cool. Been very well done. I
can get an Uber there and back.
I'm going to dress up, get an Uber. Okay. I'm going to have about 8 to 12 drinks, and then I'm going to Uber home. It's
going to
be so
good.
Exciting. I'm so excited about this.
Okay.
Cunning Stunt says it's a wedding a month in a big Lebanese family.
That's also very true. Oh, and transgender dudes can't compete against women, thankfully.
Awesome.
That was how I was actually going to finish off that whole thing.
Oh, isn't that Sebastian Coe of the World Olympic something? What do they call it? The International Olympic Committee?
Look, I think we're going to see more of this as we go ahead. Logic and the overcorrection is going to come back to a certain level of like certainty. Mm-hmm. And oaks that just couldn't do well in sport who want to take on chicks.
Yeah, well, that's what's happening.
Because that's what it is, right? Yeah. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah, it's was like ranked 200 and something in the male division.
It's not equality. No. It's not my right. All this kind of, it's bullshit. There. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a bunch of underachievers who suddenly want to be taken seriously. I don't know if you saw, this is just a brief thing I want to throw in here. TikTok, there were congressional hearings about TikTok being banned in the United States. And the CEO of TikTok was sitting there explaining himself. Mm-hmm. He said it poses no national security threat. You know, don't worry about us. We're just watching everything you do. But look at this dude in the background.
Yeah, who's that?
I don't know, but I want to know. He looks like an old Greek papu who plays tavli on the top of some mountain in like Santorini.
It's a very interesting picture.
Interesting dude, huh?
Look at all the people there.
Yeah.
That looks like, is that AI?
I think it's real.
You've got to ask this question nowadays. Is that AI?
No, it's very real because the conference was streamed live and they were asking that TikTok CEO questions, and he was stumbling, man.
Well, hang on a second.
It was just like,
His name is Shu.
Hang on a second. Why are they doing this now? Because isn't TikTok amazing? It was only Orange Man Bad that said it's bad.
Well, you see, I think
so. Americans... It might get banned in America, right? And Mark Zuckerberg has said that if that happens, he's now going to start paying influencers on Meta. And the real what?
But what a gift to Facebook and to Instagram.
Yes.
If they do ban TikTok, all those people who are big on TikTok and that they've put their whole life, I mean, like their whole 15 years on earth into TikTok, they're going to have to transfer all of that to Instagram or whatever else. Imagine.
What even an existential crisis that will be. That'll be a genre of content, my existential crisis.
But even Instagram has like released an update to say you can only use the, like when you post a reel, it should be edited on Instagram, and they're only going to promote accounts and videos that actually edited their picture or video on Instagram. So it's a big deal if they ban TikTok in the US, and that's what's currently happening now. There's going to be some law, and I think that's why the press conference was happening about looking at TikTok's privacy policy to find out, are they really just invading people's privacy, and should they really?
I think they've already, in some government institutions, they've banned people from using government computers and government mobile phones for
TikTok.
That
would make sense.
Yeah, because you know they're spying.
Exactly.
I mean, you know Zuckerberg is spying.
Yes.
But at least they can find that little asshole and punish him in California, right?
Or at least that little asshole brings money back into the country where he's doing skullduggery.
Exactly.
But let's be honest here. The bottom line is Trump was right. People are now saying, ooh, TikTok could be bad for you. He said it right off the bat.
Ben, don't you understand? The people who hate Trump hate him so much that they can't hear anything good about him. It screws their brain up. They start getting physically nauseous.
I know this, but I'm just reaffirming.
So, I mean, even though Trump was right about a lot of things during his presidency and after, you can't say that, Ben. People will lose their shit.
Yeah, well, they didn't have much shit to go to start with, so I'm not too bothered. Go and looseth your shitteth.
While we're talking about shit and we're talking about Trump, let's just talk about this. The biggest story this week, and nobody's really reporting on it because it seems to be just a silly, childish thing, but we've got to actually break this down and discuss it at length. So Hillary Clinton, crooked Hillary Clinton, and her daughter, Chelsea Clinton, went to watch some show in New York.
Not some show, Some Like It Hot.
Oh, is that what the show was?
Which is a great precursor to the steaming pile of feces next to them.
So they go to this show and they're sitting near the front. Obviously, it's Hillary Clinton. They're not going to give you a shitty seat.
Of course, VIP, one way. Although
some dude who's a famous defecator. Now, I don't know how you become a famous defecator, but this guy is a prankster of some kind. He goes and he takes an enormous dump in the aisle right next to crooked Hillary and her daughter. He squats.
Gareth's taking a few liberties here on the story.
No, but these people have security with them all the time. So, there's a random dude just walking up, and the security didn't be like, hey, you know. Right.
Ben, you've researched this.
I have. And unlike.
Thank God for Ben. He's our intrepid journalist.
Journalism is just tick box stuff, right? So there's some holes in the story, which I would like to get on top of.
Yes.
There's one hole in the story, which produced it.
Produced the turds to go with. So in the theater itself, okay, in the show, Some Like It Hot, in the first act, there was fecal matter, as in poos, next to where Hillary was sitting. And it was noticed and it was cleared up, and Hillary was a bit of a sport about it, and she just carried on, and then went and then watched the second act because she was loving the show so much. But then on the discovery of these four poos, these little line of turds, they were like, oh, not again. It's happened four times in this theater. Four times of late, they've found human.
So it wasn't particular to Hillary.
It's happened before.
Oh, okay.
But again, I reread the article three different times to find out, has this happened four times to Hillary? Can you imagine being Hillary? It's like, I was going for dinner. Oh, someone's taking a shit again. Or it's like, I'm going to get an Uber. Someone's just taking a shit next to my car. So they're not entirely sure. Did the person squat and drop one? Or have they done it prior to entering the theater?
And they just dump it there.
And then they actually transport. Because if it's Some Like It Hot, how hot are we talking here?
Wait. Maybe I'm the one who doesn't. What's the show about? This Some Like It Hot?
Because
it sounds like
it's
the show is.
It's a musical. I mean, I don't think this is part of the thing. I don't think there's a certain part of the act where it's like, let me look around if I got the shit this time.
To me, there is nothing, there's no greater insult than someone like putting shit near you. It's just, it is the rudest thing. Is there anything you can think of that's ruder than that?
I so this is the thing, like, how, to what level do you hate someone that you're going to put a poo next to them?
Mm. Someone says, Arbot is in an icing bag.
So, but again, like, I'm sure I'm not the only one with like, questions.
Wait, whoa, guys, wait.
But that is completely related to how fresh it was. If someone's literally just dropped one off, just pinched it off right there, someone's going to see, I don't care what the stage lights are, someone's going to hear a bit of a ruckus and the smell will be instant.
A ruckus.
Yeah. So I believe the turds are being brought in whatever sort of reciprocal device, whatever it is, they're being brought in. But the biggest question is here, does this person just have like a hit list?
Mm. Are they aiming for anyone in particular? Yeah.
And then you're also going to go back to like, is there anyone in your life that you hate so much that you'll put a poo?
Not a chance.
Like, imagine not if a chance. I walked in here today and like with 2 minutes left, I go to my bag and I just roll out a couple of turds towards Gareth and say, see you guys next week.
Plus, if someone did that to you and you knew it was them, you would immediately want to have them punished. It must be punished. That is not like a dog. If a dog shits, you smack the dog and you teach it to shit outside.
But look, guys, we all know, and we started this conversation by talking about TikTok. We all know trends are trends and they catch on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if this becomes a...
No. There's some things. No. Ben,
like this becomes a TikTok trend.
Remember that time someone threw a shoe at George W. Bush?
Yes, and everyone started doing it.
Because that's a cultural... That's right. It's a cultural thing, right? To throw a shoe is like the low of the low.
No, wait. Jennifer Hudson explained, right, that also throwing a shoe could mean that, like, they're showing you, like, love. So if you are performing and you're killing the performance and they throw
That's not what they meant with George W. Bush. So in Iraq, he was making a speech just after the fall of Saddam Hussein, and an Iraqi activist, apparently the very rudest thing that you could do. Remember when that statue of Saddam came down, they were all hitting it with their shoes.
Yeah.
So in that part of the world, it is considered extremely and gravely insulting. And once one person did it, it caught on. So Ben is saying, if this shitting, by the way, was human, right? They tested it was human.
So that's the one thing they had determined. It was a human poo.
Even worse.
Because you know, human poos smell differently to animal poos.
Yeah, definitely.
We eat like a lot of weird stuff compared to like your general herbivore.
Right.
Unless it was a vegan poo, and that's where this really is going.
So, I mean, did Hillary, she just carried on as normal. She didn't make a big fuss of this.
If someone puts a turd next to you, you don't want to make a big fuss of it because then you get embroiled in this whole
thing. I don't know if I'd have the self-control to be able to go, that's all right. Everybody.
Nope.
Let's carry on with
the show. Must stop.
Let's carry on with the show.
No.
I'm going to be furious. I'm going to be breathing fire. I'm going to be so angry. I mean, who would have the crass impertinence to take an enormous dump right next to me in my theater chair? I mean,
and
really,
I'm Hillary so Clinton.
I'm crooked Hillary
Clinton.
Do you
know who I am?
I just think that this person now has to raise the stakes and actually drop a load live. None of this delayed live.
I reckon
it must be. It's not the SABC of pranks here.
It must be quite a lot of pressure, though, to perform. Under those circumstances,
Gareth, everyone's going to be good at something here. I'm sorry, but
if you're
at this stage,
load, dude, like,
this is revolting. This is the worst conversation I could ever have for
it
a Friday.
It is, but can you imagine hating someone so much that you want to just poo?
No. Here's Slippery Pickle who says, I've seen casino footage of a sneaky poo in a coin cup. At least she got a couple of grand out of the machine, though.
Yep.
So it was a woman. Clearly, she didn't want to leave the slot machine.
Was this like East Rand or was this international?
I could never be East Rand. Nah.
No, you think that. You think. Just plain Jared said, I once had this hot blonde chick sleepover. Next morning, she took a shit and that smell hovered in the entire apartment. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, wow. No.
It's terrible. You know, again, I've brought this up before, but I've met so many people who are happily married. They say that the only way to keep a marriage happy is to have separate toilets.
Have to.
Or else if you are the man, you go and you use a different bathroom.
Suncoast Casino. So it was a local poo.
Oh, wow. Mm, that's Durban, right?
Yeah, but some people are weird. Like, you know, I've told you about people on my road There's that homeless guy who shouts and screams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got,
I'm sure, but he doesn't poo like on the road. I never see him poo. Some guy two nights ago drove by in like a nice Audi. He stopped and just right next to his car took a piss on that road.
Yeah, no, yeah, people yeah, do this.
Guys absolutely do that.
No, I've never. I have 41 years and a bit on this earth.
Yeah, but men do that.
In suburbia.
I've never, I can't to my recollection ever say that I've had to. I've been really desperate to pee once or twice, but I've, you can always find, there's always a garage or something nearby.
There's always a plan.
You can last.
Structure your life.
You can figure out, like, you can make a plan.
See, like,
speak to those brothers. I've seen far too many men pull over by the side of the road. And just use a wall, their car, whatever.
Mm.
Use their car.
Yeah.
Peeing against your own car.
Yeah. To just
like
do
I said,
that.
Nobody gets embarrassed in this country.
Angus says, the dude who threw the shoes at George W. Bush commented that he wished he had more shoes to throw.
Fair.
There we go. And George W. went, when they threw the shoe at him. So great. All right. Just a couple of things that we need to do before we get to 7 o'clock. I don't want to carry on about
that. No, you're right.
I think we've done.
I just think it's funny how what goes around comes around, sort of. I mean, look, murder and a shit isn't the same.
No, sure. And Benghazi and, you know, I get it. All right. Well, anyway, fans got married at a Taylor Swift concert. Speaking about weddings earlier, do you think this is weird or inappropriate or fine? There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's everything wrong with that. I'm just thinking as like a bride one day in my mind, in my head. Moments like that need to be sacred. Why are we getting married at a Taylor Swift concert?
So both of them are huge Swifties?
No.
I know. I also,
it doesn't matter. Who's there with us? Those people don't matter. They drunk. They enjoying the music. And what is like... And then what music is playing as well is Taylor Swift also saying, oh, people are getting married. Let me change the song and sing something that's...
So, no. Is this while Taylor Swift singing
yes,
and carrying
was,
on?
Yes. Yeah,
they, and they,
do you take this person to be your...
And then you're there in your white dress as well, potting with people that are there to... No. Go to Home Affairs or something. Don't do that nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, like if someone said to me, I'm getting married, come to the Taylor Swift concert, I'd be like, sorry, I'm...
You wouldn't get me to a Taylor Swift concert with wild horses.
It would go back to my cringe thing about having to go to weddings that I want to go to.
Yeah.
But if you're only, because you know these fans, it's like, that's what they call fans, right? They're fanatics, absolute fanatics. And maybe that was their entire dream because maybe their first kiss was a Taylor Swift song. Maybe the first time they banged was a Taylor Swift song.
I just think it's...
It's lame, but I mean, if this is the world that we live in, right?
Yeah, and maybe they're the kind of people who this is the best they can do. I mean, maybe it is cheaper. You just tell everyone you've got to buy your own Taylor Swift ticket and all you have to do is pay for the priest or officiator. And then the concert is the party, so you don't really have to.
Everyone's got to buy a ticket to the concert. Yeah, I don't think Jill had a lot of friends, to be honest with you. I don't think there's a lot of friends coming to this thing. And then maybe they're PR whores and they knew that their wedding would get spoken about.
Mm.
And then
maybe
Taylor
would hear about it.
Tweet about it or something.
Right. And then they thought they'd get some special.
Always comes back to attention, huh?
Attention. Please. Me. Please
stop
notice
thing.
Me.
Stop it now.
Me. But me also. Please. Also me. Jason Styles, who's related to Harry Styles, says, well, Mr. Cliff, the neighbor where my parents stayed a few years ago took a dump on my parents' lawn due to an argument. That's in Buitenzorg in Cape Town.
Wow.
Took a dump on the parents'
Wait,
lawn.
What was the argument about for them to be that petty?
Must have been
that
very
is
bad.
To that petty. Level, I'm going to go take a shit in your lawn. That's how deep people get.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But there's absolutely some way of not masking your feelings, right?
You guys have
talk
evil
about
hearts.
Not talk about not being on the fence.
Also, here's a good point made by Tsechovatso, who says, Tay-Tay, she sings about everything that's wrong in a relationship. Why would you want someone... who has had such unsuccessful, she really has had the most unsuccessful.
Yeah, all her boyfriends are crazy according to her songs.
Right. And every relationship has ended in tears and disaster.
And people want to get married to that.
You want to get married to that? You're setting yourself up for a fall.
I just know one of her songs is We're Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that
so
was
imagine-
the one.
After they said, I do. We're never, ever, ever.
And the thing is, and you can
get him back together. And as soon as that's going on, the priest is like, would you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?
And those two definitely sung that on a road trip somewhere together.
Yeah.
because people don't do mindless shit like that.
No.
But I think you're right. Again, it's attention.
Yeah.
It all boils down. In the year 2023, we've got a bunch of organisms who are existing purely for attention.
Can I also use this opportunity to bring up that CO1 shat in his pants? As,
I think that's a good
as brought up by Tracy. Tracy, thank you. That was close. We almost missed that opportunity. We almost missed it.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, that happened. Let's never forget. Hashtag never ever forget. Ever
letting you forget. Taylor Swift could do a song about Sia sharting.
All right. Let's just show you this quickly. This came up on my Instagram feed yesterday and I loved it. Imagine being a time traveler, going back to 1990 and telling everyone that one day Roseanne Barr will be better looking than Madonna.
Yo.
That's, geez. So there's a picture of Roseanne now and there's a picture of Madonna now. If you went to 1990, Madonna was the sex pot. She was this hot, like gorgeous, vivacious, beautiful, magnificent pop queen. She was like the best of the best. And you got Roseanne, who was the size of a house and had this horrible voice.
Like brain addled from car injury. Yeah.
Right. And you would never have said this.
Is that deposition with chew fat in
TikTok?
TikTok still going? Because they just need to show that picture.
Right.
You're on it. It's hopeful. Yeah. Look there. Look on the right.
That woman on the right.
On TikTok.
Right. Dear Congress people.
I raise my case.
Right. Here we go. This is what TikTok does to a person. But look at Roseanne. I think she looks great.
I really think she
looks like a woman who has aged gracefully.
Yes.
She has had a horrible time. I mean, she was basically canceled. Do you remember? For saying something about someone, and she's like an older lady who she didn't grow up with all this touchy political correctness.
I would listen to when she gives me life advice now.
Roseanne?
Yes.
She looks like someone you would listen to?
Yes. Like if she had to sit me down and just be like, I've lived this life.
If the woman on the right said to you, I've got some advice for you, what would you say?
No, I'm going to be, fix your life first. It seems like you have some issues and we just need to sort you out first.
I really think, like, what an incredible contrast between Madonna and Roseanne.
Or as Congo Chris said, who is that overinflated balloon wearing an octopus as a hat? Pretty accurate.
All right. Well, Congo Chris is on fire. It's 7 o'clock. We'll be back in a moment. Stick around. CliffCentral.com on a Friday morning. CliffCentral.com.